CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us here on Thanksgiving evening, and we just once again want to just wish everybody a very blessed, very profitable Thanksgiving as we get together with our friends, relatives. You know, what a great time it is to share our faith with our family. And so again, not to be preachy, not to be pushy, but to be there in care to reach out to them. You know, I know it's going to be a real temptation for many families to maybe get into feuds over the elections and things like that. Keep the focus on Jesus, because after all, he's the one we're thankful to for all the blessings we have anyway. So again, once again, being about our Father's business on that wonderful time tomorrow. And I pray that if you have a chance, be sure to call your relatives, maybe those you haven't seen for a long time. Wish them happy Thanksgiving. You may not always be able to do that. Joining me today, special guest we have with us, John from, again, down south, Calvary Chapel, South OC. And hi and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be with you. You know, the Bible does say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And oh, you know, for us, I think, you know, as believers, the way we live, it's not just Thanksgiving. We call it thanks living. It's every day, man. We have something to be praising God for. And so I'm thankful to be here and be part of the CSN family and to be able to take questions today here with you, and looking forward to what God has for us.
And so again, thank you so much for being here on this Thanksgiving Eve. I know there's many things you've got. Do you got services tonight, something special?
We do. We have a service tonight. Looking forward to that. And, you know, we keep it rolling. We got service tonight. And then tomorrow, we've done traditionally, and tomorrow we will continue, we do a Thanksgiving Day 5K. If you're up for it, we're down there at the San Clemente Beach Trail, do a 5K. You can walk it, trot it, crawl it, have somebody push you in a stroller if you want, or wheelchair, whatever you got. We're doing it. So, looking forward to that. Tomorrow should be a beautiful day, and it's going to be great.
Turkey trot.
Thanksgiving Day 5K. We're into it, man. It's a lot of fun. Traditionally now, Mike, what we did, we started this last year, and we'll see if we do it again. This is like our 12th annual, I don't know. But one thing we've done now is at the end, we jump in the water. Well, a few of us. It's like 56 degrees, so it should be exciting.
Memorable.
It's a great way to start Thanksgiving.
There you go. John Randall is the pastor of Calvary Chapel in South OC, Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente. And so if you're out in the area visiting this weekend, and many people are out and around visiting friends and relatives, I know he'd love to see you at church. And so I'd like to just invite you to come there. Now, if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii and over on the Kona side of the island at Kona Coast Fellowship, this Sunday, I'll be speaking there on Sunday morning, Finding God's Will for Your Life. And we meet behind the ocean. We're on the ocean behind the Kona Inn Shopping Village off Aaliyah Drive. And so if you're out and around, I know you'll enjoy that. Again, this Sunday, 10 o'clock at the Kona Coast Fellowship there on Aaliyah Drive, behind the Kona Inn Shopping Village, out there on the lawn, right there where the water is at. Beautiful. And so we want to invite you to come. I think you'll really be blessed. Bring a friend, and we'll have a good time. Well, to the phones we go. We have on the line with us Paul from Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. Hello, brothers. That's the Paul who called you earlier with a request to pray for my son, Daniel, and I really answered your prayers. We were able to find him, and people from Brother John's church helped us, you know, with many things like praying for him, and also somebody helped us to find his car so I wanted to express great appreciation to you brothers for your prayers and support, and for Pastor John and his ministry. Thank you, brothers. God bless you. However, the Lord has blessed him. You know, he's got the job as a ISP, you know, tech support, where he can work from home. But Satan is tricky, you know, and he's catching him on his old habits, like playing computer games. And so he is knocking. I mean, my prayer, a request for prayer, is that Lord will make him free from his, you know, habits of video gaming and video, you know, YouTube and all that stuff. That's like really devil possession, because the second he clocks off from work, he just gets on from his notebook and he can play all day, all night. And I just, and he lives with me, and because his wife walked away, and she, you know, I would walk away the same way. I mean, who wants a husband who plays computer games? And so I'm just praying for the Lord's mercy that he would, you know, guide him. And he prays, but somehow he.
Yeah, well, let's do that. Let's pray. Father, I think the passage that comes to mind is where Paul said, I want you to serve the Lord without distraction. Lord, I think there are so many distractions out there, Lord, and easily can take us off the right path. And we do praise you for what you have done thus far. And Lord, we know that your word says that you began the good work in us, and you're the one that's going to be faithful to complete it. So we thank you for the work you've started. But Lord, we know you're not done. And so we pray that you would continue to do the work in Daniel's life, God, and just draw him closer to you. And I pray, God, that he would have a desire for other things, Lord, a greater desire for your word and for fellowship. And we pray for a work even in his life, his marriage, as was mentioned. And God, you can do it. And so we trust you with it. And we ask you to do it for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Well, Paul, one wonderful praise report. And again, we'll continue to keep him in prayer. And thank you, all of you as well, on the CSN Radio listening audience. I prayed for him as well. It's always a blessing to see your son found alive. And prayerfully, he'll continue to grow closer to the Lord. That's what's going to make the difference in his life. Paul, stay on the line. I'll send you out to the movie Jesus and a couple other things that perhaps you can get your son to read. And happy Thanksgiving to you. May the Lord just keep you. Let's go to Andy, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. This is Andy. Let me read my sentence, and then I'll ask my question here. I'm concerned for us believers trying to comprehend the current events in Israel. Is the same Israel that Jesus will return to and redeem. I think you, when I say current events, you know about the war and, you know, what you, sure, what you hear happening in Israel right now. And it's, boy, it's hard to say that that's, you know, God's people. So what is your observation and verses on the end times in Israel?
Well, first of all, yes, that is the Israel Jesus is coming back to and to reveal himself to. Number two, I think the attack on October 7th against Israel was deplorable. When Hamas came in, putting babies in ovens and tying the parents up and turning the ovens on so they can watch their children roast in an oven. No, these people are barbaric. And after being continually shelled from the north, from the Golan Heights, Israel just had enough. And so they're clearing the playing field right now. Now, remember, Hamas was voted in by the Palestinians as their government. And as we all know, there are serious consequences for the way people vote. Look at America in the last 4 years. Borders are overran, inflation out of control, crime everywhere, gangs everywhere. Yeah, we get the government we deserve, what we vote for. Thank God, prayerfully, that's going to change. But as you understand that when Hamas voted in, was voted in by the Palestinians, this is the direct result of that. And again, as they now have gone into, to the Gaza Strip, they find all these tunnels, cache of bombs and weapons. We find Iran funding most of this that's going on. So I think this is something that is very serious. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think God does have a plan for Israel, and that's revealed from Genesis to Revelation. Obviously, the people at the present time, many of them, I would say probably the majority of them in Israel, do not believe yet, Mike, and I say yet, that Jesus is the Messiah. However, there are those there who are Messianic Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they believe the scriptures. You know, the Bible does give us insight into what's going to take place after the church is removed. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. That is where 7 years of tribulation are going to come upon the earth. And during that 7 years, one of the purposes of that tribulation period, in addition to judging a Christ-rejecting world, is to bring Israel back to her Messiah. And through that season, God is going to reveal himself. There's going to come a point when Jesus comes back again, Mike, and the prophet declares, Zechariah says, they're going to look and they're going to see that he is, his hands are pierced, and they're going to say, where did you get those wounds? What happened to you? And he's going to say, I received these in the house of my friends. He's going to reveal himself. They're going to be, Paul talks about this, you know, in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. In chapter 9, he talks about God's past relationship with Israel. In chapter 10 of Romans, God's present relationship. And then Romans 11, his future relationship. God is not done with them. Although they are not fulfilling, if you would, their side of the covenant, God made an everlasting covenant, and he will make good on it. He's going to do his part, and he's going to draw them back. And although we see them not yet submitted to the Messiah yet, we know God has a future plan for them, and the Bible makes that very clear. And it's just a matter of time, Mike.
Yeah, it's interesting when you mention that, too, because I receive these marks in my hands, house of my friends. Mm. Some of the new Bible versions say I got them in a brawl. So this is why sometimes we have problems with the newer versions of the Bible, because that is not found in the original manuscript. It was, these were given to me by my friends. And truly that was, Jesus came to his own received him not. And so even though they have fallen down on their end of the deal, just as you said, John, God has not fallen down on his. And so, again, Andy, I hope that helps.
Let me have just a follow-up. I agree with, you know, part of your statement. I'm listening to alternative media about some atrocities that happened, you know, with the Israeli army. But one thing that helped me a lot.
How did you hear about this?
I was listening to YouTubes with Scott Ritter and Douglas McGregor. You know, they're pretty reputable, and they seem to try to give just the facts. It's not so much politicized, and that's
well. See, you got to remember though. You got to remember our media is not honest. And I do not believe most everything I hear. I watched NBC, CBS, CNN on the night of the election, as an example. And these people do not report the news, friends. It's nothing but propaganda. When I see them making derogatory statements all night long about Donald Trump, that's not the news. You're there to tell us who's winning, who's not winning. And instead, what we get is we get all of this backlash and, oh, he was a convict. Yeah, this. And all I can say is, you know, no wonder they're all going broke. MSNBC is for sale right now because their ratings have tanked so much. You can only lie so long to the American people, and then it comes back and bites you. And this is what is happening. And so when I hear about, you know, well, these atrocities that happened. Hey, there is no atrocities greater than putting babies in ovens, tying the parents up and watching their babies bake in an oven. That's what Hamas did in an unprovoked attack. Now, the thing is, this is the problem that we run into. These are videoed. This is not made up. This is stuff. They were using their cameras, and they were celebrating the roasting of babies in ovens. Oh, yeah, that's what they were doing. And so this is where the problems come from. You can't make that stuff up. But I find so much of our news today is made up. Most of it is geared in anti-Semitism. As we watch Antifa in Canada right now, smashing cities and all the things that they're doing, all in the name of, the pro-Palestinian stuff. This is all junk. Something else I want to point out to everybody. Remember the protests, you know, these man, like totally groovy, like 1969, man, we're going to go down and protest the war in Israel. How is it that every campus across America had the same color tent, same color flags, same color everything in these pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli ordeals that they brought on the campuses? Very well organized. But did the American news media tell us that? No. But if you can stack two bricks on top of each other, you can realize, hey, how come all these people all have the same color tents? How come these people have all the same color flags and flagpoles? Why is all these people have the exact same color headdress and all these things? Hey, wait a minute. This wasn't just some meeting down at a college campus. This was a well-devised plan to smear Israel. It's still going on right now, friends, and we have to be very, very careful. People say, well, these people are pretty reputable. Are they? Really? I don't know that. You don't know that. And so I think we have to be very, very careful, Andy, in what we see. All I know is Israel was brutally attacked on October 7th, and you see, the problem with the Palestinians, they believe as they die, they go to their Allah heaven and get their 70 virgins or whatever they, you know. And I remember a comment made by one of the mullahs in Iran. This was back in the several years ago. You Americans love life. We love death. Oh, really? And so understanding that you're dealing with people that aren't real very rational, you know, this is the problems that oftentimes that we get. And so, you know, I think we need to be very, very careful. I watched this propaganda all my life. I watched it in CBS News reporting back in the Vietnam War. I don't know if you remember an individual named Lieutenant Callie, who was all kinds of war atrocities were pinned against him. But in his trial, which wasn't broadcasted, but I found the videos, he said, you know, we were in a town, we were being shot at by something. We didn't know. It was all gang warfare, jungle warfare. He said there was nobody in that town trying to stop them from shooting at us, so we shot back. Yes, we hit some civilians. We're sorry about that, but they weren't trying to stop them from shelling us. Oh, well, that was all left out of the news. It was that he was a murdering person of civilians. See, there's more to the story, and that's what I'm trying to share with everybody. And the American news media has been totally disgraceful in their reporting the news, because they bring you just enough truth to slip you the poison jelly beans. That's what it's all about. And you watch it over and over again. Remember the night before the election, Iowa is flipped to Kamala Harris, now 4 points ahead, and all over NBC and MSNBC, CNBC, all these networks all carrying, she's now come. All a lie. She lost by double digits, I believe, in Iowa. But why? I don't believe the American news media. And, you know, they just had a poll, and it said that the American news media has the lowest ratings of truth that they have ever had in the history of broadcasting right now. They're liars. And so I just want to caution you, Andy, on a lot of this that you hear, because these people that may have reported several things that are good, but I also know that they lie, and they lie a lot. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I have a hard time listening to journalism. And today, thankfully, there are other sources that you can listen to And I'm thankful for that. And hey, stay away from those poison jelly beans. I'm going to agree with that. That's for sure. Don't be taking those in.
Yeah, those are rough. Andy, I hope that helps.
Hey, let me just make one comment. I did get into the Chuck Missler series on Jude. And yes. You know how Chuck, he always goes down his rabbit trails. He did did a lot of comments on how Israel would be in favor and out of favor and out of favor when Jesus returns. He uses the phrase Jacob when they're out of favor and Israel when they're in favor. And Chuck Missler on Jude, his commentary on it's a YouTube, is really good on that.
Well, we do know that today, again, there are Bible commentators that say if Jesus was to come right now in Israel to be their savior, they would do what they did to him 2,000 years ago today. You cannot broadcast the gospel from Israel's ground. Do you know the Christian radio stations that are there? Now, this is a little switch here. Do you know the Christian radio stations that come to the nation of Israel are broadcasted from Palestinian land? Now, that is something interesting, isn't it? John, your thoughts?
I didn't know that. That is a that's an epiphany. I did not know. I was unaware of that. And I do love Chuck Missler. I mean, obviously, he's with the Lord. I mean, the bottom line is when it comes to the nation of Israel, stick to the word of God. That's really what I would say.
Amen.
I mean, the world, it's always going to be in and out. There's always going to be things going on. It's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. The Bible tells us, Zechariah 12:3, that I'm going to make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all people. And there's going to come a day when all the nations are going to turn against Israel. And so it's just a matter of time before Ezekiel 38 happens. I mean, all that stuff is going to happen. And you know this because you look back at the first part of prophecies that have already been completed concerning Israel. And so you can be confident that what the Lord has declared in his word that has yet to be fulfilled, it's just a matter of time. And so I appreciate your interest in Israel. And we want
Amen.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. And we want to pray for people to get saved there and around the world. But there's always going to be stuff going on over there because that's the place where Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. He's going to sit upon the throne of David forever. He's going to rule and reign. So it's no wonder that it is the ground zero of spiritual battle and physical battle because what's going to take place there in the future.
And there are many, many Christian Palestinians. I want to make that very clear because there's a lot of people that believe in Christ. And of course they, as well as even people that are Jewish that believe in Christ, caught up in a very, very tough situation in this war. But again, the shelling has to stop. I believe just in the last couple of days from Syria or Lebanon, they got another 180 missiles. Now, it was not the ICBMs that they got, 6 weeks ago. But these were again rockets fired down on the farmers down below, and there was casualties and things. So understanding that it's a troubling spot for everyone, just exactly what the Bible says, that Jerusalem will become a cup of trembling to the entire world. And Andy, that's what it is today, unfortunately, but that's exactly what the Bible said it would be in the days we're in. Hope that helps.
Thank you, Mike and John.
Andy, God bless you. Thanks for being such a studious person of the word, so important in the days we live. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. Let's go to Leanna in Jamestown, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi there, Pastor Mike and Pastor John. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. A dear friend that's a believer, and she is throwing at me a lot of questions. She believes the world is now flat. She believes that it's flat because there's no way there's four corners that they mention in Revelation. She also says that there's no such thing as planets because it was not mentioned in Genesis when God was talking of, mentioning all the things that he was, he had made. There's a lot that she's throwing at me. She thinks that we're in the tribulation because the Euphrates River has dried up, which I told her it's not fully dried. I'm just kind of lost at what to tell her. I've been, you know, searching scripture, going back at her, letting her know, you know, the things that she is now believing is not biblical.
Somebody's teaching her this crazy stuff. The Bible says the earth is a sphere in the book of Isaiah. We find God sits on the circle of the earth. The reference that we find there in Revelation, four corners, is where you describe a map. It's to show the to give that picture of the globe. We understand that. To say there's no planets, well, there's a lot of things that aren't mentioned in the Bible. Light bulbs aren't mentioned in the Bible. So has she torn all those out of her house? Cars aren't mentioned in the Bible. Has she got rid of her car yet? Bicycles aren't mentioned. Has she got rid of her bicycle? When you really start looking at these people's theology, you don't have to push very hard to find how wacky it really is. Well, because it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. Oh, really? Well, then that means tear the TV out of your living room and, you know, get rid of your microwave oven and get rid of your stove and start cooking on wood sticks again. See, the logic doesn't follow through. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I have also, when I come across, oh, Mike, we're at a break.
Up on a break. I didn't see that coming.
All right.
Wow. Hey, listen, Lena, stay in line. We're going to pick this back up on the other side of the break. And we want to get to Brandy and Ron and Rick and all on the second half. So we'll have more. It's Every Man an Answer. Right.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon, Thanksgiving Eve. And again, so much to be thankful for. Reminding everybody, if we're not thankful for what we have, we won't be thankful for what we get. You know, it's interesting to find God's will in your life is part of being thankful. The Bible says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. I've seen so many books written on how to find God's will. Well, it begins with simply following the Bible. Give thanks in all things. You know, when you give thanks, you take inventory of what you have. Lord, thank you for my fingers, and thank you for my car. Thank you for a house and my kids and all these things that we have. We become very thankful. We become very much aware of how God has blessed us. But then once we do that, we say, okay, God, now that I realize these things you blessed me with, how can I use them to serve you? And see, this is how we find God's will for our life. So you don't have to go out and spend hundreds of dollars on books to try to find God's will. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Not just tomorrow on Thanksgiving, but thanks living. As you said, John, I like that. So good. And again, important. Once again, if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii, if you're in the Kona area or anywhere on the island, love to see you this Sunday morning. Starts at 10 o'clock at the Kona Fellowship there off Aaliyah Drive. And I just want to invite you to come because I know you'll just be really blessed. Again, we meet right on the ocean, right on the lawn there, right behind the restaurants. And it's this Sunday, 10 o'clock, Kona Coast Fellowship. And love to see you there. And it'll be great. Back to the phones we go. We have Lena on the line. And, you know, John, you were saying.
Well, we were asking, you know, there. Obviously, is it Lana or Lena?
It's actually Lana.
Lana.
Well, there you go. That helps. It's neither one of those. It's the other one. Well, thank you, Lana. Hey, listen, I want to say this. You know, I've had people call here to the church and tell us and try to convince us that the earth is flat. And they want to, and I, part of me is thinking, okay, obviously we disagree. But for some people, it's hard to disagree agreeably. I mean, you can look at the other planets. You can see the Earth is a sphere. You can look at the satellite images. Pretty clear. It's an orbit up there, and it's an orbital sphere, and it rotates. That's why we have the shadows that we have. But some people want to make it some massive issue, and this happens, and that happens. And here's what I do my best to do, Lana, in those situations. I try to reason. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. But if you get to a point where there is no reasoning and they just want an argument, I try to disagree agreeably. I also make the point that this isn't a salvation issue. I disagree with you, and I think there's plenty of evidence to say that the earth is round. But I don't have time to sit here and to debate with you about it. And if it gets to a point where we're not getting anywhere and it's all you want to talk about and you want to be divisive, you know, the Bible does give us wisdom on some of those things. For example, Titus chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said to Titus, who was in a church where there was contention, he said, reject a divisive man or woman after the first and second admonition. I mean, it gets to a point where it's like, hey, listen, we disagree. And if we can't do that agreeably, I think there's plenty of evidence. You can look at this. You can see it for yourself if you're not into it. Okay. But after a while you realize, and this was the case with the person that would consistently call this church, and for all I know, they still do. We just don't have time for that. And so we have to reject it and continue to move on, pray for them. And that's what I would encourage you to do, Lana, in those kind of situations where, you're not really getting anywhere.
Well, you know, John, the other part, Lana was saying that her friend believes that we're in the tribulation period. And how would you address that? Because we know that there has been no guy on a white horse going out conquering and to conquer. Right. We know that one quarter of the world's population has not died. There's a lot of reasons that we know the church is still here. You never find the church in the book of Revelation. You'll right. find saints, you'll find the elect, but you never find the church. Yet the church is mentioned almost on every page in from the Gospels on. Being fellowship, being kind, entreating one another, encouraging one another, all these things, bearing one another's burdens. You don't find any talk like that in Revelation. Right. And so the church is gone, and it's not gone right now. So somewhere there is a source for this craziness that she's hearing, and maybe that would be helpful because, you know, what we're talking here are not, I mean, it really ruins your testimony when you're trying to talk to somebody and you come up with stuff like this. This is really kooky. But where the problem comes from is usually when somebody's off in an area, they're usually off in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you might want to find out who is teaching her this crazy stuff? And then I'll bet you, as you get down to who Jesus Christ is, what salvation is, you're going to find a lot of problems. And there is some major issues. Again, if somebody believes that you got to be baptized three times forward or two times backwards, well, the Bible doesn't say. It just says Jesus came up out of the water. That's okay. I can accept that. But if someone says you don't need to be baptized at all, or if, I mean, for a public profession of faith, not for salvation, but I'm saying this is where we get into trouble. Or there's many different messiahs, or Jesus came back in 1914, or whatever. I think you're going to find, Anna, that Lana, that there's going to be other areas that she's really off in. Try to find the teacher on who this is and feel welcome to call back here, and we'll try to give you some directive on what to do there as well.
Okay, I appreciate it. And everything that you guys spoke of, John, you saying, you know, sit down, talk to her. We had a Bible study yesterday, just her and I. She kind of fell away from her walk for a little while, and she's just recently coming back. So I know where she's getting her information from, and it's not a solid teacher. It's not a preacher. It's not a church. It's an individual, which, you know, I understand she put a lot of faith in this person because he seemed so wise. And it breaks my heart because we have been walking with Christ for over 30 years, both her and I. And we started off as young teenagers, raising families, you know, as we got older. And it breaks my heart to see her fall for something like this. And she is so
adamant. This guy that's influencing her, Lana, is getting his whacked out stuff from somewhere. Maybe that would be the place to go. Yes, she's getting it from him, but he's eating at a pretty sour trough someplace. So that would be the one to find out, I think.
Yeah, we'll just pray that, you know, I'm just glad that you're still in her life and that you're able to have that interaction. And you know, just pray that she comes back to the word. You know, God's word doesn't return void. And I think as you just speak, you know, the truth is what sets people free. And so I just encourage you to keep pointing her to scripture and keep those lines of communication open and just keep praying that God would bring her out of that and really bring her into some truth. And I've watched the Lord do that in people's lives. I've seen that testimony. And so I'm confident as you continue to love her. You know, the Bible says to be patient, you know, able to teach, patient with all. So I'm sure as you are that good friend that she's going to come around.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just pray that you give Lana the right words to speak to her. And Lord, that she would return to that simple love that that she started with, God, instead of all this crazy stuff. And Father, may you just give Lana the right words to say to her in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Our prayers are with you, Lana, and if you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I'll send you some books and DVDs that perhaps you can get into her hands, maybe really help her. In fact, a little book called Time to Grow, you might let her look through that and say, what do you disagree with, if anything, in this book? And then that's going to give you pretty, because it's just basic salvation and growing in the Lord. And so if she's got objections to that, there's probably something much more serious wrong with whoever she's getting this information wrong. So we'll get those out to you. Stay on the line, okay?
Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, dear. Let's go to Ron, Prescott, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastors Mike and John. Do angels use weapons?
Well, usually they use AK-47s, but I'm just kidding. Your thoughts, John?
Well, there are several places in Scripture that refer to angels, obviously, but also that they carry a sword. I mean, the passages that come to mind, I think of 1 Chronicles 21, verse 16, where it says, you remember David lifted up his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth and having in his hand a sword drawn, stretched out over Jerusalem, a mention of a sword. I think about Joshua there in chapter 5, seeing the Lord and, you know, the commander of the Lord's army. I think about Ezekiel 9:2, where it talks about there were those men who appeared at the upper gate. And there seems to be this reference on more than one occasion to swords. So sounds Balaam. Like that, whether that's Balaam, an actual, Balaam, same thing. Is that an actual, well, it says sword. some kind of instrument. So apparently they do, Mike. It's going to be interesting, right, when we see these angels. But the Bible does record that they do have that. That's a weapon. The Bible talks about our sword of the Spirit that we have. It's the Word of God. But that's a good question. Seems to indicate they do have some kind of weaponry.
Yeah, Ron, hope that helps.
Okay, thank you much, pastors.
God bless. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's go to Brandy, Nampa, Idaho. Hi, and welcome up by Boiseville.
Hello. So my question is, okay, say you got somebody that had given their heart to the Lord when they were younger, and then they turned away from him due to being angry or whatever, and he is blasphemed the Holy Spirit, right? So yes. If he was to ask for forgiveness of, whatever, he would be forgiven, or is that the most unforgivable sin that you wouldn't be able to ask forgiveness of that? And if so, what's the difference between the prodigal son and that?
Well, no, exactly. And the point is this, people say all kinds of dumb things. You remember Peter was cussing and swearing. He didn't know who Jesus was. Boy, if that isn't blasphemy, what is? And yet Jesus, when he caught up to him on the Sea of Galilee, asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then the final time he said, Peter, are you fond of me? And I really believe that, again, this is what's important. Now, I believe that anything is forgivable by God. I think if there's breath in your lungs, you can be forgiven unless the Bible says otherwise. You say, well, where would it say otherwise? Taking the mark of the beast is otherwise. John MacArthur said, God will forgive you of anything. And someone asked, even taking the mark of the beast? He said, even taking the mark of the beast. Absolutely not. No, no, 1,000 times no. The Bible's very clear. You take the mark, you're done. And so we have to be very much aware of what the Bible says. And again, if the Bible makes a statement, it makes a statement. And if there's something that modifies that statement concerning something, we have to do that. All the way through the Bible, we find people that fell away from the Lord and came back. And so I don't believe, and again, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is just shining on the Holy Spirit. You know, God says, repent, repent, repent. No, 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 I'm going to do my own thing. A person that's not even born again, repent, repent, repent. No, 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 I'm going to do my own thing. They die, they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. The only messenger that's telling people in their spirit, you need to be born again. Yes, we communicate that, but it's the Holy Spirit that drives it into a person's heart. And if that person says, no, 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 I believe that's a real problem. A person that is called themselves a Christian at one time. Jesus talked about this on the seed that was sown, and some grew up and was all, but because of lack of root, they dried up and blew away. Listen, we want to be very, very important, very clear here on the importance of God's great forgiveness for everyone. And unless the Bible says, like taking the mark of the beast is not forgivable, I'll take God's forgiveness any day of the week. Your thoughts.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven them, either in this age or in the age to come. Of course, remember the context of what's taking place there, Brandy. You remember the Pharisees were attributing the work of Jesus in casting out demons to the work of Satan, which was not true. And so Jesus is giving a warning that there's one sin that is unforgivable, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask myself, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to Jesus Christ. No one gets saved without the work of the Spirit. The Spirit's the one that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. So as Pastor Mike mentioned, if someone continues to reject the work of the Holy Spirit, the ultimate sin that sends somebody to separation eternally from God is a rejection of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit's job is to draw men to Jesus. So if somebody dies, as Mike mentioned, rejecting the salvation through Jesus Christ, then they've ultimately blasphemed the work of the Holy Spirit. What What blesses me, two things about this passage. One is that there's only one sin that God cannot forgive. And I've committed a lot of sins, and God has forgiven me and cleansed me and made me a new creation. The other thing to consider is this. Most people that commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit are unaware of it. They're not even thinking about it. They don't. It's not even a thought in their mind. People that I've spoken to through the years in ministry said, Pastor John, have I committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And I say, you wouldn't be concerned about it, because you'd just be living your life like the Spirit of God didn't exist, and who cares what God thinks. So that is to be understood. If this man that you speak of repents, turns back to God, even though he's living the wrong way, he can be forgiven. He could be restored. But he needs to repent and listen to the Spirit seeking to convict him of sin. And if he does that, then he can be forgiven, Mike.
Amen. And I believe when it comes down to take the mark of the beast, I believe the Holy Spirit will be screaming at people not to take the mark. You've got angels flying through the midst of heaven. You have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem. You have 144,000 Jews that are messengers, or maybe I should say God's spokesmen here on this earth during the tribulation period. So I think if a person that does take the mark of the beast, they have very, very much had to go against all the callings and the wooings of the Holy Spirit to throw your allegiance behind the devil's kingdom. So hope that helps, Randy.
It does. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's go to Caleb, Texas. Hi, Will.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Awesome. Well, my question is, when you're baptized, are you supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like Jesus said, or are you supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you do one or the other, does it affect your salvation? Or that's kind of my question.
No, because... And you'll find a lot of the modalism out there. There is no Heavenly Father, there is no Holy Spirit, there's just Jesus only. And so they will say that there's just one. This is not what the Bible teaches. And so a lot of times they will insist on baptizing in Jesus' name, since the Father really doesn't exist, since the Holy Spirit really doesn't exist. This is a dangerous theology that's out there. Jesus praying to his Father in heaven. If mankind can be saved any other way, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. Who was he praying to when he was baptized? Voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. In the name of means by the authority of, and it's by God's authority we baptize anyone. If you're in a bank and somebody's robbing the bank and there's a plain clothes cop in there and he says, drop your gun in the name of the law. In the name of means by the authority of the law. That's what in the name of means. But yet they get all hung up on that. It's by God's authority we baptize anyone. And so baptizing in the name of Jesus means they were being baptized in the authority of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy, by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's what you have to remember. In order in the Old Testament to get out of your pagan worship, you would renounce your pagan deity, you would accept Yahweh as God, and you would take a ceremonial washing. That's what you would do. And that's the idea behind all of that, is that we take a ceremonial washing to declare to the world we're no longer what we used to be. John, your thoughts?
Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, as was mentioned, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You come to the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up before the crowd and he says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So obviously, you know, you got to remember, as Mike is alluding to here, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three are one. So either way, for me personally, when I baptize people, and we baptized hundreds of people here at our fellowship, I will say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just do that. If I said in the name of Jesus, it would still be acceptable. It wouldn't affect their salvation. But I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's just something I've always done, probably because Matthew 28, verse 19. But if you said in the name of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, it doesn't make it any less powerful, for the three are one. But I cover all the bases, Mike. I've always said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name, amen. And under the water they go. Now, some churches like to hold their people under for 20 minutes to make sure the old man is really gone. But no, we have to understand something really important. This modalism, the Jesus only, it says baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy. Well, what's the name of the Father? What's the name of the Holy Spirit? What's the name of the Son? Well, that's Jesus. And they completely do away with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting when you go to John, Epistle of John 2:22. It says, he that denies the Father and the Son hath the spirit of Antichrist. Ooh, man, I'll tell you, gotta hurt. But they don't care about that. They blot that out. They teach over the top of that. They don't spend any time on that. Again, who was Jesus praying to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who is the voice from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. No, so in the name of means by the authority of, and yes, I use the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as they, in Jesus' name, amen, and under the water they go. Caleb, hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. I was thinking too, just how that Jesus knows our heart, and it's by grace through faith, ultimately, that we're saved. Like Paul said.
So, amen.
But that really helps. Thank y'all.
Amen. God bless you. And that's what that's about. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to Christopher Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, welcome.
Yes, sir. I was calling about in the Gospels, it mentions angels descending into a certain pool, and when they did that, people would be healed.
Yes, Pool of Siloam. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know if that was really going on or if that was just a superstition, but if it was going on, God would have sent the angels down to stir the water, correct?
Well, that sounds like what was happening. I don't believe anything goes on without God's divine appointment, so that would be the way it is. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's an interesting passage of scripture there, you know, where you have that man who was by the pool for 38 years waiting for the waters to be stirred. And it says there in the scriptures that at some point in the past, whether that was legend or it actually happened, appears that it happened because people were still waiting there. That guy had been there 38 years waiting for the pool to be stirred up again and get in first so he could be healed. Something happened there. And so there were people waiting. And yet Jesus came by and found that man in that place and just asked him the question, do you want to be made well? And he said, well, I have nobody to get me in the pool. And then Jesus just bypassed the, you know, any excuse and just said, hey, get up, take up your bed and go home. And he did. So it is an interesting story there at the pool. And I've been there to the ruins, actually taught there on that specific passage. And I'm thankful that it's in the Bible, but it does seem to appear that at some point the pool was stirred up, Mike.
Imagine him staring at that pool for 38 years, scared to death to take your eyes off of it, even to look around, maybe at people passing by or scenery or anything, just staring at the pool, waiting for something to change.
Yeah, wow. John chapter 5. Yeah, it's there. Hard, that's what it says.
Hard. So hope that helps, Christopher.
Hang on, Pastor Mike.
Pardon? Hello? Yes.
Oh, yeah, the reason why I asked, I'm sorry, because I'm wondering if fallen angels can heal, because there's a story on the Catholic Church making this young man that passed away a saint, and people are not praying for, they're literally praying to him, the deceased person, and they're being healed, supposedly. And I don't know, we're told to pray to God through Jesus Christ, period. So if someone is getting healed, whether they are or not, I do not know, but I was wondering if a fallen angel can heal as a servant of God, angel can heal.
John, your thoughts?
Well, I don't find any passage like that in scripture where it says that fallen angels can heal. Although the Bible does says that the angel or that Satan is an angel of light and that he is a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. He has a way of duplicating things. I think of that in the book of Exodus when Moses was confronted by those who were with Pharaoh, and they were able to duplicate certain things to a certain extent, to a certain point. But there's no scriptural example of that, of a fallen angel being able to heal, Mike.
No, you know, and the Bible says the Antichrist, beast, false prophet, and all, they're going to do lying signs and wonders. And so right. If there was something like that, I would say it would be a lying sign, because we know that God, truly, Jesus Christ, is the healer of our minds. Find no record of Satan healing anybody in the Bible. So I think you can rest with that. We're all out of time, everyone. Hey, we'll be off for the next 2 days, but until then, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Thanks, John. Have a good weekend.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.